Good afternoon. Welcome back. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Can you hear me? Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Okay, well, there are some other discussions that can take place, one of which has to do with the downgrades, which is on today's, the front of today's Nation, on the lips of a number of persons. We also had a couple queries on WhatsApp. Some persons wanting to know what's going on. Does this mean more hardship? And then, as we are expected to hear on the 12:30 news, some commentary from the new president of the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and the commitment of the private sector to work with the new administration to ensure that there's growth. That has been a consistent commentary and a consistent commitment on the part of the private sector. We work with you, whatever has to be done, and we hope that in the new choices and the new types of policies, the changes that would really engender some a pickup in, yes, in confidence as well as in activity, because there are indeed some members of the private sector who have staved off any investment during the election year. Some of them have started in 2017 to not make any major decisions because they didn't know what was going to happen, and that has had implications. So let's see if there's increased economic activity now that there has been change. So we will go to the phone lines. This is Down to Brass Tacks. My name is Lisa Gale. I'll be with you until 1 p.m. today.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Yes. What I would like to see happen is that they have some yellow cabs in Barbados. Where that when persons come to the country, you don't have to be looking out for a taxi. And that would be interesting.
Okay.
So I hope that they would put that into consideration. Because I find that they're going into the thinking about the international way of doing things, but yet there's a lot of things that are being lacking. So I hope you get some buses soon and some sanitation trucks and so on, and get things going. So that's it for now.
So yellow cabs, sanitation trucks, you said something else.
Yeah, and at least I never like see the majority
buses, you said buses, yes.
Yeah, buses and the majority of public service vehicles, employees, decide, make sure that they're fully attire a uniform.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right,
the gentleman is calling for some uniformity across the service, taxi service. Some garbage trucks, some buses, and the persons who are operating the public service vehicles be clad in identifiable uniforms. That's an interesting request. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Lisa. How are you? It's Miss P here.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm doing well.
How are
thanks.
You doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. And yourself?
Fine, thank you. Lisa, I'm quite curious. We have never seen a list of our creditors. All we're hearing is about this $18 billion that we owe. I think I'm making a suggestion, really.
$18 million?
Is it $18 billion?
I thought I heard 2.7.
You heard 2.7?
Yeah. But that's all right. We can always find a figure.
I'm sure I read, really, on social media, but then again, you have to trust, you can't trust everything you read on social media. But I thought it was $18 billion. But my main point is,
I'll give you it shortly, because I have a paper that was written by Professor Winston Moore from the Barbados Economic Society. And it was also shared on the page, the newsletter from the Barbados Economic Society, okay, as it relates to the decision by the government to reprofile. So I'll pull that up and I'll share the figure with you if I can, if my system comes up. But feel free to go ahead.
Okay. Why I'm asking this question and making this request is because I think the people of Barbados ought to know what we're paying for, what our debt is, who we owe this money to, and what it's for. So they should really give us an itemized list, publish it in the Nation
newspaper. But it's in the we have the central bank governor. in that last review, that last
So I would get the quarterly breakdown in there.
It's
I would
in
get
there. It. They usually have the table with details.
The details of who all our creditors are and how much we have to pay them per month.
It doesn't have it in that format. I guess what you're asking for is
a breakdown.
A very detailed breakdown.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm asking for, because you can throw any kind of figure around. I mean, unless we get a breakdown, we need, since this government claims it's going to be transparent, you know, it started on May the 24th. Another thing is, I remember weeks ago hearing on Brass Tacks that CLECO policy holders would be paid as of May 31st. Not one CLECO policy holder has called this radio program to tell us whether or not that promise was kept. Where are they?
Yeah, just to answer you on the previous question, at the end of fiscal year 2017-2018, the government of Barbados external debt obligations were approximately Barbados $2.7 billion or approximately 29.6% of GDP. So I don't know if...
Figure one more time. I don't know where this $18 billion, because I said, well, we're almost up there with the United States, but they're in the trillions.
But with a $9 billion economy, you can't have debt that is...
that high.
You wanted me to repeat. It's $2.7 billion or approximately 29.6% of GDP.
Okay, but there's no way.
That's external debt.
Okay, what about the internal debt?
The domestic debt is 120% of GDP, and the figure, I'm not seeing a figure here, but that's in the form of millions.
Oh, millions.
I'll look for it for you, though.
Okay, okay.
Because it should have been in that same paragraph.
Okay. There's one other thing I'd
positively
like to
declining, yes, over the last few years. Okay, so the domestic debt has been coming down, not the external debt.
Okay. One more thing I'd like to thank you for that. One thing I'd like to speak about, and it's kind of personal, but it affects everybody in Barbados. Mm-hmm. I really have a problem with people going to prison unless they're nonviolent. I don't think people who commit serious crimes, violent crimes, should be given bail so easily. I think they should be evaluated while they're being held instead of being released on bail. I just don't understand that, because they become a threat to society. We don't know what these people are capable of. I don't want to talk about the video, but I am. I'm not going to discuss his name. I'm not going to discuss the court case. But I just feel that these people who commit these violent crimes, and we've witnessed the videos, they need to be kept in prison and evaluated, receive psychological evaluations before they go before the judge and are released on bail.
Okay.
Okay. That's it for today.
Thank you so much. That's a legitimate concern there, with the caller citing the need for there to be a demarcation between those violent and nonviolent crimes and the treatment of those persons who participate in those activities. So thank you for that submission and contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good afternoon.
A blessed afternoon to you, a beautiful lady by the name of Lisa Gale.
You can see me through the phone lines. How beautiful is that? Good afternoon to you, too.
This is the man you called Mr. Harvey Culture.
Okay.
Anybody else will be counterfeit.
Aye, aye.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. When you put a set of people to take care of the affairs of a country, or even to run a business, and they do not perform, they shall be released. And 30 love, the writing is on the wall, for the former government of Barbados. What I am saying is, you cannot take poor people especially and treat them with the way that they were treated and expect to come out on top. So God sees and knows all. And when you do bad, you will get punished. And the the electorate of Barbados have spoken. You will still have your Democratic Labour Party stalwarts coming to try to internalize what bad they have done to the people of this country. Mm-hmm. But that is history. And they still have to give now the Barbados Labour Party government a message from a Barbados Labour Party member and a stalwart. Do not get complacent. Because just how this Democratic Labour Party government was treated for mismanaging this economy, the Barbados Labour Party can be treated the same way. So a message was sent to every single person who have politics in their mind or want to run for public office. The taxpayer's purse does not belong to an individual, or this Barbados does not belong to the politicians. And I am happy of the outcome for the former government of Barbados. I'm one that is not sorry, because they had this place under severe pressure. They did not did any kind of justice to the people or the economy of this country. And when God speaks, it is well spoken, madam. And that is my contribution for today. God be with you, and have a wonderful week and a good weekend.
Thank you, sir. I observed the outcome, and I marveled. I was very, very surprised. I'm one of those who had not the same predictions. I did not anticipate a whitewash. I really didn't. I anticipated probably a 22. There were a few persons who I thought were going to get through. I actually had I must be honest, I was hoping for at least one of the third parties to have a showing, and a substantial showing. But I also looked at not the numbers, because I wasn't privy to any of the polls. But I also looked at the persons they were coming up against. And in some of the constituencies, they really had no chance against the rising Barbados Labour Party candidate at the time. So amidst all of that, I was hopeful. But I was also very shocked on the morning of the 25th. In fact, I was one of those persons who did not sleep until, even although the writing was on the wall and you could tell what the result was going to be, I think I was in a little bit of shock. I did not anticipate it. But yes, the caller said he calls to say his piece, and thank you for your contribution. And what I'll take from what you said is, do not get complacent. And that is to the existing administration. Do not get complacent. And one of the very words that would resonate with me that the new leader would have shared on the night, actually, just after Prime Minister Fando would have conceded at that time, no, Prime Minister Motley would have said she thanks the people, but she wants to remind them that this is not her victory, nor is this the Barbados Labour Party victory. This is a victory for Barbados. It's a victory for the people. And I think with that remaining resolute in her mind, and with how she relates and how she develops policy, I think keeping the people at the forefront would be advantageous, because you would, of course, put measures in place that would appease, influence, guide, assist, please, and all those things, the electorate for future. And one thing I'd say, if we go back to 2008, things were not what things are for 2018, but the then administration, then Barbados Labour Party administration, lost. And I think a lot of it had to do, and we as a people in Barbados are very, we don't like what we see as arrogance. And I think a lot of arrogance was coming forward. And as soon as arrogance becomes the norm in any administration, you will be cut down. And it is a reality. It's an African proverb. It is a biblical proverb. The reality is that pride comes before a fall. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello, good afternoon, Lisa.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Yeah, I believe, though, that there could be more possibility of the union and the government making a deal, because there seems to be more a cooperation here.
Those were the actual words of the union rep for the NUPW, the president, Mr. Kenny McDowell. He did say that the deliberations were far more congenial, and he looked forward to coming to some agreement based on the varying discussions at the social partnership level.
Exactly. And myself and others that listen to the news very often, I was listening to it a lot over the past year or years, know exactly what was going on. So, you know, we're hearing a lot of different comments, but still, we just listen and we just got to shake our heads because the writing was always on the wall. I wish the Honorable Prime Minister, Ms. Mia Amor-Motley, congratulations on her cabinet. All the best. Well, it's not going to be easy fixing the country, but I'm sure that she will do her best. And as the union says, since there's no vision, where there's no vision, the people perish.
Yes. As the union say, as the usual saying, is that what you said?
Well, that is one of the Bible scriptures that is written on the walls of the UPW.
Oh, yes. Is it, you sure it's NUPW or that's, I think that's Solidarity House. That's BWU.
Yes, Solidarity House. Sorry.
You're right, you know. I saw that there. And yes.
All right, thank you, Lisa.
Thank you so much for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. It is now 23 minutes after 12 p.m. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Ms. Gill.
Good afternoon, sir.
How you doing?
Well, thank you.
I had to call to say a few things.
Okay.
From the people who are the Democratic Labour Party supporters, or the people who are calling and quarreling and complaining, to me, this is what has been happening over the last 8 years. People not willing to take be accountable, not willing to take responsibility for something. So therefore, it is everybody else's fault that the Democratic Labour Party lost this election. Okay, it is the media's fault.
Mm-hmm.
It is the moderator's fault. It is the newspaper's fault.
Mm-hmm.
It is the fact that the unions now didn't want to play with them or whatever, because now they're lying prostrate before this new administration. Because the world economy, everybody in is the fault of the CCJ for bringing all the judgments against Barbados when they were doing things wrong or what have you. It is everybody else's fault except the Democratic Labour Party. And they have to get over that, in my opinion.
Interesting. Very interesting. I was actually going to say something after you were finished, but it has evaded me for some reason.
Okay, I'm sorry. But you can say what you want to say. Go ahead.
It was I think one of the single most reasons there are a few, but for sure, this Democratic Labour Party that has just lost the election did not talk to the people. And it is not only the former Prime Minister, Fandel Stewart, QCMP. It was a policy of the administration over time where they became a strong word. I shouldn't use it, and I wouldn't, but I had a term. It got to a stage where you felt as though you couldn't make suggestions, and I would hope that this doesn't happen now. And that's why I use the term that Mary said earlier, that in 2008, the Barbados Labour Party administration lost because they were out of touch, started to become out of touch with the people of Barbados. Plus, people wanted to give the new David Thompson administration a chance.
Right, but no, it's just that, okay?
Many other things.
Right, many, many things, but let's go through. Because they didn't speak to the people when the people wanted them to speak.
And this is, you're talking the last administration just lost.
The last administration.
Right.
And when they spoke to the people, it was to be offensive.
Yes. That is an unfortunate thing I had communicated. Yes.
It was absolutely offensive. And how many times,
mm-hmm.
how many times did the NUP, the unions come and tell the people that they were trying to meet with the administration and the administration refused to meet with them?
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that the administration came and said, we are not giving you anything, period. How many
was
times
it the
administration?
Because
the Kenny McDowell came on the program.
I saw the circular.
They were asking for 23%, yes, but that was just the starting point the point at which it started.
The negotiation.
That, he said it on, right, negotiating. He said that many times.
Mm.
So therefore, whose fault is it right now that at this point in time, the union that Ms. Motley made it a priority to meet with the union.
To rub shoulders, that was her and, campaign
right,
name.
Forget the rubbing shoulders part.
Mm-hmm.
But after, when she took over the government, mm-hmm. she said, the first thing we're doing is we're meeting. And we are going to continue meeting every single week until there is an agreement. Okay?
Yeah, that,
and she didn't even anticipate that the agreement would have been done so quickly.
But there's no agreement yet, you know.
Pardon me?
There's no agreement yet.
Right, there's an okay.
We're gonna go to the latest. I don't know
but
if you want to hold
on. The point
of
the matter is the speed at which she has now moved in order to do this, and the last administration had 8 years to do it, and they did not do it. And the whole fault of is everybody else's fault except theirs.
Yes.
So, no, let me put aside that there.
But we're going to, I know you have, you're biting at your chomp, so I'm going to actually ask you to pause until we go to the latest and come back, or you want to call back in, your choice. But we have to go to the latest. So you can choose. You can hold on or you can come back. All right. This is Down to Brass Tacks. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We have a caller on the line, but we also have a WhatsApper who says that they want to discuss the ethical aspect of the election campaign and the impact that strategies will have on continued, if continued for future elections, with each party upping the ante. I'm worried about the mass corruption of the poor in the voting process. Yes, caller, I don't know if you're still there.
Yes, I'm still here.
Yes, we were talking about why some campaigns worked, not campaigns, but why the former administration would have lost some of those, hedging some guesses. One of mine, if I may,
mm-hmm. yeah.
is the outer touchness with the people. And then the more I talked to persons, there was not really they didn't turn up for the campaign. They didn't really canvass. They were not in the trenches. And they didn't do what they did in 2008 and 2013. And therefore,
right,
I question whether or not they really wanted to get back in.
Well, I am not going to try to presume what they wanted to do or what they didn't do, what they wanted or whatever. I can only speak about what they did and the results of what they did. And the main thing, as I have said, is not listening to people and refusing still mm-hmm. to listen to these people. And if you could only win, even though you've only won 2 boxes out of 330 plus boxes, you are still not accepting that you have done something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the result of it has been that you are now out of office.
So that's going to have implications for the rebuilding process.
Right, but okay, they will deal with that. Let me continue in this respect, because I don't want to talk about the IMF. Now, how many times have I come to this program in the last 6 years saying you have to go to the IMF? How many times have then the other economists come and said the exact same things? So therefore, the last administration has been continuously been given advice that once again they refused to not even discuss.
That's not fair. You were not in cabinet. To know
right.
whether or not
but,
that
I'm
was
sorry,
discussed.
They said that they refuse to discuss with the public. Okay?
I'll tell you 2 things. I think
yeah.
that the former administration would have suffered a significant psychological challenge with going to the IMF given the 1990s,
but,
the early
Ms.
90s
Gail,
challenge.
But Ms. Gail, hold on just a second. I'm not interested in their psychological
but
challenges.
But I'm telling you that psychology influenced our behavior.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I'm not interested in that. What I'm interested in is
influences.
You're acting on what is best for the country. And you're putting the country before self and before party.
You should.
And even when it came down to the fact that last year or whenever it was, when the finance minister indicated that he was prepared to accept help from Mr. Arthur, what ended up happening is it was rejected.
Right, and the reality is that the cabinet of the day, they're the ones who set the policy, but, and if they don't think that that's what should be, then they don't
but
do it.
Miss Gill, I'm not saying not. I agree that is their psychology, but what I'm saying is that they put party politics before they put Barbados.
And suffered a
and
significant
blow. And any administration
blow.
That you have, the first thing that has to come is the country. Okay, for whatever reason, what you choose to do is your business. I'm not interested. But if the country does not come first, then I do not want you running my country. That's the first thing. So as I said, let me continue with the aspect of the IMF.
Yes, you're going to wrap up.
Because, but I'm sorry, people don't quite understand the idea of default, okay, in my opinion. Because people need to understand that there is a, that the rating agencies have a particular scale. At the top of that scale is a AAA rating. Okay? It's just like a series of steps. At the very, very top step is a AAA rating. At the very bottom step is default. And default is a situation when not only do you not repay your debt, it's not because you don't want to repay your debt. It's because you cannot repay your debt. That is default. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, we have been on walking down those steps with the inevitable result that we were at that bottom step or one or two steps above that bottom step. And in when people have to ask themselves, why do you think that the ratings agencies just wake up one morning and make a determination that you are going to have this particular rating or downgrade or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not done that way. It's based on their observations and the trajectory of your economy over the last few months,
mm-hmm.
and the various things in which they determine as to the measurements of your economy, and then indicate the trajectory on which it's going.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, the reason why the last administration did not release to the public the results of the normal IMF reports or what have you, is because it would have then resulted in that the public realizing that this a downgrade would be inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it is not, I will agree, yes, there might have been some factor taken into account in Ms. Motley's announcement, well, we are going to suspend payment. But that is not what would have determined their downgrading the economy to whatever level they made it.
No, I don't agree with you there. Do you know that the ministry, any Ministry of Finance, is notified even before that comes out in on their website?
Mm-hmm. Any ministry is notified of what?
Of the pending downgrade.
Yes, okay.
So they would have known that it was coming. But you just said
Ms. Motley made the announcement.
Friday.
Ms. Motley only made that announcement last week.
On Thursday.
Right, Thursday.
After Parliament.
Okay,
after Cabinet.
After Cabinet on Thursday.
Right.
Right.
And
so
then there are pieces of correspondence that go back and forth between the country and the rating agency. Just
right.
Answering a few questions. But I'm making the point that anytime there is a determination on the part of any administration not to suspend until the restructuring program or whatever program has been completed.
Right.
That triggers an automatic downgrade. And it happened with Grenada, it happened with Belize. It's normal, but you will be upgraded or regraded after there has been an agreement that these are the measures we're going to put in place. This is the particular restructuring. This is the profile. This is how we're going to make the payments and stuff like that. And then the rating agency will then come back and do the grading.
Right, but okay, no problem. I don't have a problem with what you're saying. But all I am trying to say as well is that we would have been downgraded anyway, regardless of whatever Ms. Motley had gotten up last week and said, we would have still had a downgrade. Now, once Ms. Motley has put the program into place and come up, let's say, with her, with the mini budget or whatever, and then articulated what her in full intention is, then the ratings agency will then now take that into account as well. Mm-hmm. Because as has been admitted by the chamber, one of the things which was missing all the time was confidence.
Yes.
And that is one of the first things which they have said has now come back. There's a glimmer of that confidence coming back.
Yeah, and so then I also heard there that nothing is happening in Bridgetown. People need to come down and start shopping. I saw that from somebody on WhatsApp.
Bridgetown, people don't just aren't shop going to just automatically get up and come into Bridgetown and start shopping. Again, there are a whole bunch of things that have to go on in order to revitalize the city and in order to make sure that people do shop and stuff and thing again. This idea that people have that automatically, or the argument which is being put forward, that because automatically things have not changed or improved, does not mean that things will not change or not improve. Now, there's one thing.
I want to ask you to bring it to a close.
I know I'm going to bring it to a close now because there's a word of caution which I want to speak to with this new administration, and that is power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen what has happened over the last 8 years with an administration that has had, in all effect, no controls or over what it was able to do. And now we have an administration that has full control to even pick up the Constitution and quite literally tear it up if it chooses to. And in my opinion, one of the things that has to be safeguarded in Barbados is that constitution.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we need to have changes to the constitution, no question about it.
Okay.
But I also believe that some of those changes must be such that they strengthen the constitution.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I thank you so much for your contribution. We have another caller, and we are going until 1 p.m. today. This is Dr. Brastax. You're on the air.
Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
What I'm calling about is that people in St. James South, right?
St. James South, mm-hmm.
Yes, they live in St. James South, right? When the other minister was in, probably needs to get a better collection service and sanitation service. I would like to know if the donkey cat pull in the sanitation truck over the hill, because we ain't seeing no collection.
So
right?
I have a question for you. You mean post the election, you haven't had a pickup?
We ain't seen none.
Okay, and prior to that, how was it like? What was it like weekly?
We need to have a better collection service and Donovan Ellis was in power. You understand? The new minister got to check with sanitation.
I'm not sure that their collections.
Yes, and the next thing to an old lady tell me straight, I'm playing that things real wrong with her, and then the food in the Salvation Army, and I'm looking rich merchants to put some food on there for the poor, vulnerable, poor people. You understand? Because a lot of them got colds and things, and a lot of them need food, and then got going to constituency office to look for them to buy the groceries and stuff like that.
If I got tight in my belt,
I can go to the constituency office and get 2 bags of groceries too.
I was going to ask you though, which part of St. James South, if you want to say it on air, so that we can, you know, let the persons in Oxnard. Okay, so definitely.
Yes,
thank you so much for your contribution. This is Down to Brastax. Oxnard's in need of a pickup. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Last caller.
Yes, good afternoon, Lisa.
Good afternoon, sir.
Now, did you listen to the Send Down to Brastax program?
Yes, when I yes.
Now, there was a clip, and it aired by the former governor of the Central Bank, who could not attend that session.
Right, he's currently traveling.
What was his position regarding going to the IMF?
Did he say go to the IMF? I know for sure he said... The first order of business will be to take 1,500 persons and make them redundant, but also give them a 60,000 per man package so that the fall off will not be that, you know, significant.
Well, to me, he was clear in saying going to the IMF was not a good option.
Right. He's not he gave his favor. I'm not even sure.
Well, he gave an alternative.
I'll tell you no, because I have his email here. I saw the email that came out to most persons he sends out every month. But yes, go ahead. We don't have enough time.
So my point is this, that the same on the same Sunday, Sunday Sun carried the headline that four prominent economists, including Delay Worrell, are in support of going to the IMS. And IMF.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that was appropriate because listening to his clip, he was suggesting that he did not support the move.
Oh, I have it here quickly signed by Dr. Worrell. It's at the end of the thing he talked about. At the beginning, he talked about the precious assets of the government of Barbados.
Right.
One being able to... All right, let me just go to the bottom. The bottom says, it is on the basis of this commitment that the government should open negotiations with the IMF. So he actually is in support of the disease. So yes, but prior to that, he talks about the 1500. He also talks about preserving
alternatives.
Yes.
And I didn't hear that part with that. But
one of the things that he said, though, Barbados has an unblemished record of servicing its debt in full and on time. And that's the thing that he says we should never, ever give up. And that's where he disagrees with the PM Motley and says that she's being badly advised. That was the essence of his submission.
I heard. I understand you were saying she was poorly advised. So,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The other thing is, if I got a minute or two.
You have 30 seconds.
okay. The waiving of the fees for the UE students, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To me, a lot of people who go to UE are from the bracket that probably could pay. We know a lot can't pay, but we know a lot. For example, a lawyer was saying his son or a daughter there, and the lawyer could afford it and a doctor.
So but means testing?
Pardon me?
You're talking about means testing, those who can and those who can't?
Not even means testing I'm looking at. One thing is this, that do you know that in 2014, the fees for people going to the polytechnic had also been raised and very high too?
I'm going to have to wrap you up.
Okay, so basically I'm saying that.
I'm going to have to wrap you up. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Thank you, callers. Thank you, Graham Vaughn, for assisting me in the studio. And thank you for listening in, all of you listeners.